Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Well, the Blue Jackets have climbed back to the 500 mark, and they've done that by winning their last two games. The most recent one, a really impressive win in Dallas for the Blue Jackets last night, holding the Dallas Stars to only one goal, and the Blue Jackets getting two in the first, adding three in the third, 5-1 the final in that one. And Jody, I got to tell you, for a team that last Thursday really looked like it was struggling, and it did struggle against the Colorado Avalanche, those last two games against the Tampa Bay Lightning and now the Dallas Stars, they've been pretty darn impressive, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. You know, the Blue Jackets coming off of last season and the chase they were in, it's built into them how they want to play hockey. And I think the new players have done a good job. Now, this is early in the season. I know a lot of people will say that, but it's very encouraging to see a team find their brand of hockey early. You know, Detroit's done it after Bob McClellan, the head coach, called them out after two games and kind of put a stop to it. And I like what Dean Evason has done last Friday after the Colorado Avalanche game, where nobody that watched that game saw Blue Jackets hockey, which is hard on pucks, good in battles, hard to play against, and playing with that team unity that they have. And then they went out the last two games and have found it. So they should feel good about themselves. I mean, that's an important thing early in the season. And last year, I think you and I were very impressed with how Dean Evason got his group to get together really quickly and play that brand of hockey. I love the group because they know their expectations, but their expectations are higher within the room to not only get the wins, but play a certain way. And I think we're seeing that here early in the season, especially the last two games.
Yeah, and it was, I really loved last night. Well, a lot of things I liked about it, but the second period, they dominated Dallas in the first period. They got the two goals. The second period, the Dallas Stars came out and they pushed, as everybody expected them to, and they got one goal. They got it back to within one, but it just felt to me like the Blue Jackets survived that second period. And once they knew that they did, then they were ready to take over and really take control in the third.
Well, I even felt there was a little bit of, I'm going to call it anxiousness or uncertainty to start the third period until Matejchuk scored that goal. You know, Dallas did a good job of not allowing the Blue Jackets to get on the forecheck in that second and to start the third. They came out with some really big offensive zone pushes early in the third period, kind of a continuation of the second. And the Blue Jackets, you know, the passes weren't perfect. The plays weren't being made. But the goaltender, Elvis Merzlikins, much like the other night at home with Jack Greaves, he kept them in it. He kept them right where it was. And then you go down and score a goal. That's teamwork to me. Like, that's playing as a team, right? You're not going to just go out and overwhelm teams. There's going to be reactions from the opposition. There's going to be things like that happen, like penalties. And, you know, the first penalty in last night's game, it was all Blue Jackets. And then you're thinking, oh, they're going to give the momentum right back to the home team here in Dallas. That wasn't the case. Elvis made one, if not two, spectacular saves, and they got through those moments. So that's the key, right, in goaltending, getting through the big pushes in the moments and then really sticking within what you believe in the defensive zone, even when it's not going perfect, because then it can get frustrating. But that, to me, impressed me the most, is that they kind of stayed with it, and when they got the chance, they took advantage. How many games do you see where you get that chance to get back in it or build the lead a little more and teams don't get it? Well, last time the Tkachuk was all over it with Chinnikov.
I want to expand on two things you were talking about there, and I want to go back and start with Elvis. And I talked with Mike Havlin, Blue Jackets assistant coach, after the second period last night. I felt like everything was in sync. Yes, Elvis was making big saves when he had to, but also when there were rebounds, I thought the team was perfectly in position almost every single time to clear that puck away. It was like everything worked in unison. I mean, sometimes you're not going to be able to hold every single puck, and that's when you need the defenders to get it the heck out of there. And last night, that happened all night.
Yeah, it did. And You know, that's an important piece, that rebound, especially sometimes there was two or three times where Elvis was out of position because he was all in on that shot, and that's his job. And it's got to feel good for him when, you know, you see the green jersey last night with the puck or attempting to get the puck, but it gets swatted away. You know, guys like Coyle were there. Fantilli was down there a couple times. Fabril, you know, everybody, all those high forwards or those low forwards, they were in the right position there to help out and keep it clean. That was a big, those were the scrambles that frustrated, I think, the Dallas Stars.
The other thing I want to talk to you about, you mentioned Denton Mateychuk, and look, this kid hasn't even played in the league for a year, okay? Mm. And he's a former first-round pick. He comes in last year, does a great job, basically on the second pair, starts this year on the third pair. Now, in the last two games, he's been put on the first pair with Zach Werenski. He's playing on his offside, and it doesn't seem to bother him one bit. But he gets that goal, and you mentioned it, kind of everybody was able to breathe after that goal. And this is a guy that was, he had great offensive numbers in juniors. We still haven't seen him shoot the puck the way that he can shoot the puck. We've seen him score. But I think he has a lot more scoring in him. And I was really impressed on that play where he scored that goal, how not only he got it, but he didn't shoot it right away. He shifted just a little bit to create the lane, and then he buried it. I think we're going to see a lot of special goals like that from him. But how impressed were you with his poise in that situation?
Yeah, there's a couple things there. I mean, the way he attacked as he got the puck and you, how he skates, he's always in that powerful position. You know, he's always seemed to be locked and ready. You mentioned him playing the offside. He moves well enough to make it look easy, but there's an extra thought process in changing your body angle on a couple plays that he's really picked up quickly. And, you know, he's just a guy that wants to play hockey. He wants to be the best defenseman on the team. He wants to play on the top pair. He's there, and he doesn't change anything. With the opportunity of more ice time, he's taking advantage of it. I've really been impressed with this game, and you really have to watch him to appreciate it. Of course, last night you would have noticed the goal. But how he picked up that puck in the goal, how he went into traffic and attacked, and then he said he just shot through the triangle of the stick. So that means the stick blade's on the ice. As that stick shaft goes up to the hand, and then the angle of the foot and the skate, there's a gap there. And that's what he was shooting for, and ended up in the back of the net. It's just a really heads-up play. Most young players, I think, would have taken that on the outside, away where the open ice was, or just kind of shot it right away for a nothing play. His attack moved the goalie, moved the defenders, kind of surprised everyone because he had really good speed there. And good heads-up play by Chinnikov to make that pass, kind of look for that second layer.
A guy on the fourth line, Yegor Chinnikov, getting into the lineup because of the injury to Miles Wood, needing to find a way to impress and stay in the lineup. And I thought last night was the best game he's played so far.
I think so, too. Most noticeable, he got a lot of really good minutes. You know, the forward minutes were pretty even last night. You know, and I think the more he gets to play, the more you're going to see him build a little bit because, you know, he's a guy that wants to play in the top six. If he can accept and figure out how to play with the two players he's with right now, and Aston Reese and Lundestrom on that fourth line. And also realizing you're on the ice a lot with Werenski and Mateychuk. Like, everybody wants to be on the ice with those two guys. No disrespect or disregard to the other four guys. They all do a very good job. But there's something different about having those guys out there. So I think that, you know, the more he can chip away and find a game like he had last night, because he did have chances, right? That's the first thing they look at. Is he getting scoring chances? He had a couple really good scoring chances last night, using his speed, finding the open ice and driving the net. And he got a shot off once, like a really good hard shot. So that'll be big if they can get him going here while Wood is out.
So the Blue Jackets now have played three road games. They have won two of the three. Last year, one of their problems, a very noticeable problem, was their road record. The other noticeable problem was their record in back-to-back games. And that is going to be put to the test this weekend. Washington is here on Friday. They will go to Pittsburgh on Saturday. But I feel like these guys are ready for those kind of tests. I feel like, you know, we probably talk about it more than they do because they're just ready to play and win.
And I don't feel like we're saying, I agree with you. I don't feel like we're saying that and hoping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like there's substance in how they're playing. And I feel like this is a team that's just worried about themselves. And that's a really good spot to be. You know, the opponent, the travel, whatever. They know the roles within the team. They know what's expected within the team system. It's been good. Good to see this extension of last season, how Zach Werenski put it.
Yeah, and when you lose a couple of games, it's easy to say things like, well, you don't just show up and pick up where you left off last year. You got to work for it. And it's true, but, you know, outside of that Colorado game, and I think it was that game, and Zach talked about this, you know, he didn't say it in these words, but sometimes you kind of need that wake-up call. You got to snap back to reality, and it seems like that game last Thursday kind of did that for them.
Yeah. And okay, there's a few things there. You have to have a team that understands who they are. And the advantage of coming into this season for a team that missed the playoffs by a very thin margin is that they were playing good hockey going into the break last year, not so good after, but at the end they were pushing and they realized, geez, we could really do this if we, you know, keep pressing and winning. They understand how they have to play to a man. The goaltenders, the system, the coaches understand more now than they did last year about this group. That is the advantage coming into the first game of the season, knowing what you are. You see new coaches, you see teams with trying to change systems like Dallas, and you see holes, and they got injuries too. But for the Blue Jackets right now, their important players are getting important roles and doing important things for the team, but it's all within the system. And I think that's the reward and the belief they have going on. And I think that's the advantage they have here as they roll into this first couple weeks. Last night was the 2 week mark opening of the opening night of the season. We're 2 weeks in, but they're in a good spot and being reminded. And I think guys forget, we talked about this before on the show, guys forget how hard it is to make a pass, get a puck under pressure, score a goal, find a bouncing puck, you know, all those little things. But you saw a couple times early in the first few games, there was frustration after they got reminded, hey, this is how we play. It's take care of your ice. I think that you're seeing them evolve here quickly.
Well, this past week, there was also a special celebration at Nationwide Arena, the first of several 25th anniversary nights that will be held this year. Former players, former coach coming back this week. Dave King was back in town, the first ever coach of the Blue Jackets. Rusty Kleslah, who we had on the show last week, was here. Also, Ron Tugnutt, Kevin Dineen, and Jean-Luc Grandpierre was a part of that first 25th anniversary celebration night. We're going to hear from those guys here in just a couple of minutes, Jody, but I want to ask you, what was it like to see some of your former teammates and your former head coach back in the building?
It's always so special because, you know, people that listen, anyone that knows or has friends or people they've worked with, you just pick up right where you left off, you know? We're all a little older. We know that. But we all just pick up right where we left off. You know, Kevin Dineen is my first roommate on the road. And, you know, I've taken family trips to see Kevin and his family down in Lake George area, New York, at his cabin. And, you know, some of the highlights of my kids' summers. And to see him, and he's consistent. He's a wonderful person who treats people well, him and his wife, Annie. Ron Tugnutt, I mean, the common theme with everyone is they're all proud to have been Blue Jackets, and they are so appreciative to be back and recognized as a Blue Jacket, that not to be forgotten, but also a big part of that inaugural team. And I didn't get to see Dave King. I mean, he might have been busier than I was with all the things he had going on. It was great to have him in the building. He's a guy I have to call and catch up with because he's such a special person in my life. But the Blue Jackets did a wonderful job in having those guys back and their families and just showing the appreciation for the past of this franchise.
Yeah. And Dave King, he's a hockey professor. I mean, he can talk you into loving the game, and you're going to hear him do a little bit of that coming up in just a few minutes. But right now we were talking about Washington coming in here on Friday night and then going to Pittsburgh on Saturday. Well, when the Capitals are here Friday, it's going to be Grateful Dead Night presented by FanDuel Sports Network. The puck will drop at 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. If you buy the Grateful Dead ticket package, you're going to get a special jersey too. Want to find out more about that? Go to BlueJackets.com. We'll hear from some Blue Jackets alumni as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
Give the gift.
The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Hey, what's up? It's
tonight can only mean one thing. The Capital Ford High School Football Game of the Week.
This week, Olentangy Berlin at Olentangy.
Live coverage starts Friday at 6:30. Your home of Friday Night Lights. The Fan. And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Cloudy and breezy and cool on this Wednesday, but for the most part dry. Temperatures in the upper 40s, down to around 40 degrees by Thursday morning. Temperatures will be cooling off, the wind chills in the 30s. During the day on Thursday, we'll see some sunshine. By the afternoon, temperatures back in the mid-50s. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Last week, the Blue Jackets had their first 25th anniversary celebration night of the season, and I had the pleasure of hosting a luncheon that included the first ever head coach of the Blue Jackets, Dave King, along with defenseman Rostislav Klesla and Jean-Luc Grandpierre, as well as goaltender Ron Tugnutt. Now, I'm going to let you hear some of the conversation from that luncheon, and it starts with Dave King. When I asked him about being hired back on July 5th of 2000 as the first head coach of the franchise, what kind of things went through his mind leading up to getting offered the job?
Well, I can remember the NHL announcing that there was two expansion teams coming into the league. So I did a little homework on the Columbus situation because I knew that Mr. Mack was going to be the owner of this team. And right away, when you're looking at a new franchise, stability is what you really need within the organization. And he represented that. So I knew that this was going to be a really good place to coach. I had coached a long time. I had coached a lot of young players with the national team in Canada. So, and I'd coached in the cab with the Calgary Flames before that. So I had some NHL experience, but coming to an expansion team was really going to be interesting because it's a very unique experience. It's changed a great deal. In my era, and these gentlemen are all part of it, expansion teams, the rules have changed drastically. Now an expansion team is given a really good opportunity to be successful early in their evolution. In our era, it was difficult because teams, I kind of begrudgingly allowed the expansion to occur, but, didn't want to give up many players. We were very lucky here. We got Tugger and goal. We got Lyle Odelin, Kevin Dineen, guys like that. We got Stevie Hines, who was a great player from Boston. So we got some really good established players, but we had a lot of players that were going to join us, and it was their first chance to be an NHL hockey player. But the one thing I learned really early in my coaching career with Columbus was a lot of players you get in expansion are guys that have a real purpose to their game. They've been overlooked, a lot of them, have never had a real good chance to play in the NHL. They've come up the hard way where you have to learn to deal with a lot of bumps in the road. And they develop a lot of really good mental skills that are sustainable for their whole lives. If you look at these guys, they're all so successful now after their careers. It's because the road was bumpy. It's a hard road to make it to the NHL. So I learned right away that an expansion team would be a very unique experience, and it was. And I can tell you that their enthusiasm and their energy was impressive all the time. I mean, the coaching staff, we usually in a season, at least once or twice, you have to have the State of the Union conversation with your team to get them refocused and get them back on track and get them to find their energy again. With these guys, we never had those conversations. They weren't needed because they all came up the hard way and they were so appreciative of getting a chance to play in the NHL and especially in Columbus, a brand new franchise, that it was really the energy part of it was easy. They were an easy group to coach and just so much fun to coach.
Rusty, you came from Czech. You came over and played USHL. You played junior in Canada. You kind of had to wait a little bit for your Blue Jackets chance. You got just a couple of games in that first year. How tough was it for you to wait when you're seeing all these other guys getting the opportunities, knowing that, you know, you were young and hungry and you wanted it right away?
As Skinner said, everybody was starting from pretty much zero because there was no a team before that. There was no like veterans that were here, and there would be fight for one or two spots. So I thought everybody had this pretty much same starting line, and me being drafted and I was hungry to make the team, and I thought I played well, but we just didn't win the first, I don't know, maybe, you know, we won in Calgary, but then we just were losing games, not by much, but, you know, one or two goal losses, tough losses. And I think at the time when 18-year-old guy wants to develop more, then maybe the right decision is to send him to a team that he can play, you know, 30 minutes a night, can score goals, you know, and can develop probably more. But me at the same time, I wasn't buying that. I was mad, man. I just wanted to play, and at the same time, I just wasn't feeling that the defensemen on that team were outplaying me. You know, not all of them, definitely not. So I thought I had the spot, but you know, so I was sent back, and I had a good year. You know, there we won the World Junior Championship with Czech. So that was a good year for me. And then I came back the second year. So I don't think I missed much. But at the same time, maybe that would be a question for a Kinger. What was the mindset?
I could tell you.
You know, for me, because at the same time, I thought I played well enough to be on that team, even 18. But, you know, who knows? Doug McLean and you.
You've been holding us today. You've been holding us inside for 25 years.
25 years he waited to ask that question.
Well, I should. Okay, I got to answer the question. Rusty was an amazing player. We knew we had a great hockey player and a great person. But we knew it was going to be a real challenging year. And our feeling was that we still felt he could be even a better NHL player in the future if we were prepared, and he was, to invest one more year at a level where he could really dominate and also be part of a culture, hopefully a winning culture and winning games. So it was a very difficult decision, but sometimes you have to think about the future, not just the present. And so we did that. And, you know, Rusty had a great career, 10 years in the league, and he was a super hockey player. But sometimes with young players, you have to do what's right for their future, too. You know they want to play. We knew Rusty wanted to play, and we knew he could play. No question about it. But we felt we were making a smart, long-term decision. Sorry, Rusty.
Oh, that makes sense. It makes sense. That's what I thought that the answer would be.
Isn't it funny how in life, way down the road, you look back and you go, oh, yeah, I guess that was right. I hated it, but I guess it was right. Somebody did know better. Tugger, you... Dave was talking about how Marc Denis needed to play, and you said you were brought in as an older guy, and that was part of your job. I find the goalie relationships fascinating anyway, right? Because you only have two guys on the team that do that job, and you both want to play, but yet, you know, you're both kind of buddies because you're unlike everybody else, but you're competing amongst yourselves to play. So coming into a situation like that where you're the veteran guy and you know you've got to help this guy learn and come in, what are the dynamics of that whole thing?
Well, when I came in, I knew of Mark. I knew his accomplishments. And when I came in, I at no point in time felt that I was the starting goalie yet. And I felt that that was going to have to be earned, you know. And I knew I brought different elements because I had more experience and a better understanding of some things. And he was young and still fresh. But I knew that there was a day coming that he was going to be an elite guy. And I wanted to help him, but on the other hand, I wanted to play too, you know, so, it is complex, but, you know, at the end of the day, he pushed me, which makes me better. And I tried to push him to make him better. And then we would both succeed off of it. And, you know, he was a great partner to have. I really enjoyed, playing with Mark. Jean-Luc, have you got something?
I've got nothing.
You have nothing for Dave? You don't have any unanswered questions that have been on your mind for over two decades to ask today?
I mean, I guess I'm the only one that really liked him in that room.
I mean, I got nothing.
That's not true. That's not true.
What was that first season like for you, Jean-Luc, in being in a part of that mix?
You know, it's funny. We're just upstairs talking about like funny moments. And, you know, that group, it was a very unorthodox group of players that, you know, any team in the NHL, when you hear in the offseason that, hey, they've acquired 3-4 guys and they talk about like the chemistry, how is that going to fit in a room? Now you take 23 individuals from different teams and try to mesh them together. And you're like, okay, this is going to be a mess. You know, like the only person I actually knew was Jeff Sanderson because I played with him in Buffalo and that was it. But for me, how quick this group came together and had so much fun on the ice and off the ice, it showed. I mean, it showed every night. Yes, it was not a winning record, but you look at the numbers giving the team that we had, it was pretty impressive. The way that we really competed for each other and, you know, protected each other on the ice, it was, to me, that's probably one of the closest Nick team that I've been part of.
Stay tuned to the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. I've got more stories coming up from this group that was a part of the Blue Jackets inaugural season. You're listening to 97.1 The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan. Sports destination.
Wesley Fanette.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week, but not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan. Picking it up, Blue Jackets conversation. Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott. Last week, I emceed a luncheon that had former Blue Jackets head coach Dave King, former defenseman Rostislav Klezla, and Jean-Luc Grandpierre, and former goaltender Ron Tugnutt, all in attendance. And they told some great stories. No story may be better than how you take a Canadian goaltender and run him as a candidate for the U.S. presidency.
I'm gonna run again, I think. Third term.
All right, Ron, tell us how that whole thing began and how you eagerly embraced that campaign.
Well, it was really so cool to do. I never expected to be doing something like that. And it was thrown on my plate that we got an idea and we're going to try something. And, you know, with the election going on, you know, we're going to put you out there as a candidate. And next thing you know, I said, oh, yeah, it sounds good. What do you want me to do? They said, well, we want you to get your equipment on and we want you to walk in the farm field and pat some cows. I go out there, I meet farmers, I'm patting cows and they're doing interviews and talking about what my, you know, what I was going to do to, you know, be your the platform in my platform, what I had to offer. And then I said, that was great. All right. And they said, okay, next one we're going to go and you're going to deliver a baby. And, with your mask and stuff on. So every day it was something new and it got to the point that I'm like, what do I got tomorrow? I can't wait. This is great. I was having so much fun with it, you know? So, you know, reading books out in parks and stuff and just it was one thing after another. And, you know, it really took off, I think, and people really liked it. And, it's a great thing back home in Canada to tell everyone, you know, I had votes to be the president of the United States, you know? You know, I was Canadian under the age of 35, but that didn't matter. They'll take anybody over there. I had more votes than Harrison Ford, and he actually played the president or something, didn't he?
Sir, yes, he did.
Donald Duck had more than you, though. But I think I had like 11 or something. That's pretty good.
So. Dave, what was your, like, you know, sometimes coaches don't like that kind of stuff that's going on because yep. It can distract from the game itself. But, back at that time, how important were those kind of things?
Very important. I mean, you know, we're a new entity on the block. We're trying to entertain you, you know, with our hockey, but we have to also start to work our way into the fabric of the community. And so when Tugger did that, you know, you're asking a guy to be distracted a little bit by doing it. But if it's the right person like Tug, who's such a stable, consistent guy, we thought it was terrific. And we had a great group of people that worked for the Jackets at that time, our community services people that really had us doing a lot of things. And it was good because we knew it was going to be part of the evolution of a terrific franchise. So we always, I think no one, you know, often players go, oh, not another autograph session or whatever. Our guys enjoyed it because it was fresh and they knew that they were part of something special.
John Luke, you were talking earlier about how you came in. You really didn't know anybody but Jeff Sanderson. But as that, especially as that first year went along, you know, who were some of the guys you kind of gravitated to and got to be close with?
Oh, boy, a lot. Honestly, so I got close to Tugger and Kevin Dineen a lot simply because they rode motorcycles. I was infatuated. I love motorcycles, didn't own one. So at the end of the first season, I bought a motorcycle and I went right to Ron Tugnut's house. I'm like, check this out. And he's like, you didn't get a Harley?
Hey.
So that was the first comment. But it had flames on it, so it was really cool. But
showed up with a full white suit on. Head to toe, white. Hey. On a crotch rocket. And we're like,
oh, that was the second bike.
Oh, yeah. When he showed up with that, we're like, you're riding with us like that?
Yeah, he was up. Yeah, it didn't make the cut. So, yeah. But anyway, I was excited, nevertheless. Did you have to bring that white suit?
Head to toe white suit. As we get ready to wrap it up here, Dave, I want to ask you, like, this is not a normal conversation when you're coaching players, right? It's not like everybody just sitting and chit-chatting. How nice is it when you know, the years go by and you can just sit and talk as people and not as one guy's the authority figure and the other guys are the players that are trying to get the most playing time. How nice is it to relate with your former players like you do right now?
It's a real treat because when you're coaching guys, unfortunately, sometimes you're not as diplomatic as you'd like to be. And it's not easy to get people to perform. You know, you're talking about guys here that they're self-motivated. Some players are not self-motivated. You have to push them. And so coaching is not easy, but getting a chance to see the guys again and to meet these fine people, it just conjures up great memories because in coaching, you are coaching people and you have to respect the fact that they have families, they have careers. And coaching can be frustrating for you sometimes because, you know, winning is everything. So it's a challenging job, but when you see them like this, it's terrific. I mean, to see these guys and, I always follow my players after they've finished playing because I like to know what they're doing and, if the game served them well, did they develop some things that are helping them, you know, have a good life? And I think, you know, this wonderful example here, these are guys who are all real winners on the ice and they're real winners off the ice. So that's terrific.
What about you guys? You ever have coaches where you're like, I'm never going to sit down and talk with that guy. And then maybe you do somewhere along the line.
I never had that. You know, you once, well, probably when you were playing, yeah, but once.
Yeah, but did.
Is this the first you talked to Dave since you played for?
No, we were in Arizona, Phoenix. Yeah, they were right. Fine. But, yeah. You know, as you bring it up, like, till this day, I remember when I came, the favorite, one of the favorite things when Kinger was coaching and it was just driving me nuts. But now I say, man, that was the right thing to do or right thing to hear. He's yelling from the bench, swivel, swivel. Swivel means you got to take your head and look what's behind you. So swivel, swivel, right? So like,
good show.
So swivel, swivel, man. And, so then we start eventually making fun of it, right? Obviously, because it's been so much buck. You know, like once you're older and you are approaching the game, that's it for a defenseman, especially, or actually coming back forward, you know, on the back check. That's one of the most important things in hockey, to have your head and know what's around you. So at the time, you find it like, man, like it's way too much. Come on, man. Like not again. You know, like seriously, you know, that's what you do as a hockey player. You just like, you know, bitch about the coach sometimes, right? But later on, like, and I was coaching, you know, like pro hockey, And I was like, what are you doing? Like, look behind you. You know, I was not saying swivel, but.
Could you just not say the word? Did it bother you to say the word?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It was just, you know, like, you know, but you have your favorites and you have your less favorites. That's the way it is.
I hope you enjoyed looking back on some great memories from former head coach Dave King, former defenseman Rusty Klesla, and Jean-Luc Grandpierre, and former goaltender Ron Tugnutt. They were all in town last week for the first Blue Jackets 25th anniversary celebration of the season. Jody Shelley will be back with me as we continue with the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hi, I'm Rich Mitch.
The Fan has a new tailgate destination. Join us before every home game at the O Patio and Pub on Lane.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Ford dealers, Jameson Whiskey and Coors Light.
See you Saturday, friends. First Jackets all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
When you're coming out to Nationwide Arena, if you want to have a really good experience, you can rent a suite. There are plenty of amenities and services that you can have for you and your guests. There's a food and beverage credit for games in October and November. Book your suite by going to bluejackets.com/suite rentals. Jody Shelley, along with me, Bob McElligott here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. We just heard from Dave King, Rusty Klesla, Ron Tugnutt, and Jean-Luc Grandpierre. We talked about it back in the first segment, Jody. You could really hear what you were talking about, how proud they are to be Blue Jackets. And look, you know, everybody was somewhere else, but they were all glad that they were here and they're a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I see Rusty Klesla. It's like I saw him last week, but so much has happened in between. You know what I mean? He's got great personality. He's a hockey mind. He's involved. He's on top of it with the Blue Jackets. He actually put the equipment on and he was, I think he talked about it. And he skated with some alumni and others last week. You know, he got Chris Clark's gear and put it on, went out and skated and told me after he had 2 goals and an assist. Like, it's just a great tight-knit group, you know, the hockey community, especially the alumni. But the pride of being in the National Hockey League, and more importantly for our group, they're proud to be a part of this community. And every one of these people still has ties to the community in one way or another. So to have the organization show that effort and that reach out for these guys to be recognized, what a great start to this 25th anniversary year. And you know, it's going to build as the year goes on. There's going to be a lot of familiar faces coming back and you're going to see the same pride.
That's right. And we're basically going to do that once a month. So get ready for the November edition coming up pretty soon. All right, let's talk about what's going on around the NHL. Injuries is a big thing. You know, it all started with Florida and Alexander Barkov getting injured before the season even began. But now you're seeing some teams with some of their bigger players out of the lineup. We just saw one last night. Matt Duchene didn't play for the Dallas Stars. So the injury bug is biting some franchises early, isn't it?
It is. You know, when you look at some of the big names, of course, we keep an eye on the Edmonton Oilers. You know, they're dealing with injuries and their top player, Connor McDavid, finally got his first goal of the season last night. That is juicy news, isn't it? But, you know, they missed Wallman, defenseman they locked up long term. They missed Hyman, top 6-4 that, you know, you look to that when a team struggles out of the gate. But I think, you know, the injuries are coming to teams like Florida too. These two teams have been the Stanley Cup finals for Florida 3 years in a row, for Edmonton 2 years in a row. It's a long season to get there. They have to find the brand of hockey, but you know, you wonder about the injuries and how all that hockey's been played for both of these teams. And then throw Dallas in there. You know, Jamie Benn, collapsed lung, their captain, emotional leader. You can lose a few players, but there's a few players that are so important to you. I look at the captains of the Dallas Stars and the Florida Panthers, Jamie Benn, and then in Florida, Barkov, you know, those are big holes. And you really have to rely on your team play, your team system and to scratch wins. And they have to stay in it. They have got to stay in it here, for a lot of this first part of the season, because, you know, you think you can catch up when you get a little bit healthier, but boy, it's going to be hard, especially these years where everyone understands and other teams are trying to make the push. like Columbus, like Detroit. You know, look at Toronto. They're struggling right now. They don't have injuries, but they've made, they do have a couple injuries, but they've also made changes in Marner leaving. So, and then you look at the Vegas Golden Knights. They, I mean, Jack Eichel is the best player in the National Hockey League, and we're not talking about him enough. He is electric out there in Vegas, and he's not even playing with Mitch Marner on the line. He might be now with Stone out. Stone was hurt, but there's so many intriguing stories. And one of the ones we're going to see this weekend, a team we love to hate in the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're off to a really good start, you know? Crosby, Malkin, Letang, yes, but they've added some young pieces that have kind of rejuvenated their lineup. They've also added some energy pieces. And those two things combined with some good goaltending and Arthur Chkalov, they look pretty good. They look like they've found their energy with a new coach, Dan News. So that'll be a fun matchup. I think it's the Hall of Fame night in Pittsburgh. Are you here Saturday night?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's Hall of Fame night in Pittsburgh as well. So Ronnie Francis is going in the Hall of Fame, Pittsburgh Penguins Hall of Fame. And there's, I forget who else.
Yeah, I forget too. I saw you in the preseason when we were there, because I was thinking, you know, I got to watch Fleury play in that preseason game, and now, yeah, some of those legends of the early 90s are coming back there for the Penguins, which means it will be electric in that building, and you've seen that before. But you know what? You talk about Chkalov. I think the Penguins are in a similar situation as the Blue Jackets with their goaltending, where, you know, the way that Tristan Jarry has played the last couple of years, it's been a major concern, but so far, those two guys are splitting time, and they're both having good results.
I think you've seen a Pittsburgh team that looks deflated because, you know, you can game plan, you can do whatever you want, but when there's a couple bad goals, it doesn't matter. You're not going to outscore your opponent as the Pittsburgh Penguins. So I think that it's a huge, if you don't have the goaltending, the game plan doesn't really matter, I don't think. You know, I think it's deflating. So I think that, for them, they found that. They found a new way to play. They found some energy, and they've had a really good start to this, a surprisingly good start to the season.
Although, what shouldn't surprise us, like Chris Letang got his 600th assist last night. And Sidney Crosby now, I think if you count regular season and playoff games, he has more points than anybody in Pittsburgh Penguins history. I've said this forever. I'll say it until he's done. As long as you have number 87, you are still a viable opponent. I don't care how old he is.
I agree. And you look at what Washington did 2 years ago by surrounding Ovechkin with younger, quicker pieces, right? And enough skill to manage pucks and keep momentum and kind of fit into the way they want to play. I really feel like Pittsburgh has done that. Ryan Shea, energy, Doer, energy, Lazat plays with energy. And they got two young kids, Miracle and Kindle.
Yep. Yeah. And those kids forced them to keep them on the team out of preseason.
Right. And they can go back to junior, but if they're playing some pretty good roles, Kindle's a player that will probably play up and down the lineup. But, you know, it's a different looking team and a quick turnaround from last season to this one for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, you're right. The Capitals put the blueprint out there of how to do it.
Yeah, I think they did.
And all the GMs studied that. No doubt about it, because it's a copycat league, and when you can turn something around as quickly as Washington did, everybody's interested in that, especially a team that was aging out like the Penguins were. So what a weekend, huh? We're going to get Ovechkin in Columbus on Friday. We're going to get to go to Pittsburgh and see Crosby on Saturday.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it, Bob.
No, it should be great. Jody, thank you very much, and we'll talk again next week. All right.
Great talking to you.
That is going to do it for this edition of the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. Thanks for being here with us on 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
When it comes to prostate cancer, go to pcf.org for the help you need to navigate this disease and make the right decisions for yourself. Go to pcf.org today.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
And where we're at,
as a group of men that like being around each other and want to win for the city of Cleveland. Like, it's never been higher since I've been here.
This is the Cleveland Browns Preview Show. This is your chance to get an in-depth preview of the week ahead in Berea. The Cleveland Browns Preview Show is presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of the Cleveland Browns. This is the University Hospital's Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
You're listening to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show. If you love football, you've come to the right place. Your radio home for the Browns, The Fan.
Here are your hosts, Ken Carmen and Gerard Cherry.
NFL campaign, and your Cleveland Browns back on the road again, this time to Foxborough, Massachusetts, for a date with the New England Patriots. Good evening, friends. Ken Carmen alongside of Gerard Cherry. It is the Cleveland Browns Preview Show presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns. Gerard, good evening, friend.
Good evening, Kenneth.
Away we go with four downs.
First down.
All right, Gerard, big win for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. A domination. The Miami Dolphins, 31-6, a fantastic football game. Complimentary football, if we do say so ourselves, Gerard.
Yeah, complimentary football galore. Special teams, offense, defense, all complimented each other in a manner of fashion in which what? It led to a blowout victory. And think about special teams plays that were made. Force a fumble. Offense gets great field position. Next thing you know, you're in a situation where you're scoring. Next thing you know, the defense comes on the field, three and out. Next thing you know, good return, good punt play, good all those things. And if you find yourself once again scoring. So we saw complimentary football, the best we've seen it played all season in quite a while for our Cleveland Browns.
Grant Delpit, the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Has he had a Pro Bowl-type season so far?
Yeah, he's certainly in that conversation. And anytime you have guys that are key contributors and you're one of the top defenses in the NFL, yes, you should be in that conversation. And the way he's been playing, and more importantly, Ken, he made some statements and he backed it up. That's the part I appreciate about just the team needing to get a win in the win column and what he needs to do to be part of that. And the fact that he plays special teams and he gives his all in playing special teams and then goes out on the defensive end and contributes as well certainly puts him in my mind in the conversation as an all-pro type of a season.
Winning feeling is nice, brother. You got to sustain it. What can the Browns take away from their Week 7 victory and try to stack some wins together?
Just shows what happens when you win and do your job and when you compliment each other and you put the defense from the offensive perspective in a spot to where you're playing from a lead that so helps the cause because now they're able to dictate to teams what they want to do as opposed to have to be stuck in a mode where it feels like they're in neutral because teams are just going to simply get rid of the football and say, okay, we'll wait for our offense to make a mistake. So in my mind, it just shows you the value of what happens when we score and what we're capable of doing if the offense gives the defense a lead.
Yeah, you're right about that, and it's time for second down.
Second down.
All right, time to give out the game balls for the victory in Week 7. Offense, defense, special teams. I'm going to give the defensive one, obviously, to Grant Delpit. He's a special teams defensive player. Well, he's a special teams player of the week.
Well, right? You got to get a special teams one to him for sure. But defensively, I'm going to give that to, think about what Rayshon Jenkins did. He got an interception. He recovered a fumble. And he hit a Achane and caused him to tip the football, in which that led to a pick six at the start of the second half. So in my mind, Rayshon Jenkins is a defensive player of the week for what he did. But Grant Delpit certainly is in the conversation as well. But we'll give him the special teams player of the week.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with you. I was just giving the special teams one to Grant Delpit. I mean, Rayshon Jenkins can have the defensive one. Offensive one, is it Quinshon Judkins? What do you think?
Yes, no need to even conversate on it. Three touchdowns. Yes.
What leads to that, by the way? I know that, hey, on the ground, you know, some people are like, well, and I had a couple of naysayers. Well, he only averaged this and that. And I was actually having conversations through text with some of my friends that were in the stands on Sunday, and they were like, now's the time. And I go, now's the time for what? Now it's time to go down the field to Jerry Jeudy. I go, it is 24-6. We are going to run the ball on first down, more than likely, probably on second down, maybe throw on third down, and wind this clock down is what we're going to do. But Quinshon Judkins was fantastic on Sunday for this team. He's been a bell cow for this football team so far.
He certainly has. And when you think about the weather conditions, why would you even think about passing in certain circumstances due to the weather? But yeah, the fact that he has just been stellar and leading, I have to imagine, all rookies in yards right now is very impressive. And I still keep in mind that he missed the entirety of training camp and the game to start the season. So yes, he is showing up and showing out on a weekly basis. And for all those naysayers out there who are talking about, well, look at his average, it wasn't that great. Sometimes, who cares if your average is not great? Were you effective when you need to pick up a first down? Were you effective when you need to score a touchdown? Were you effective throughout the course of the game? And if a guy scores three touchdowns, in my mind, and you win, he was very effective.
Time for third down.
Third down.
Tyson Campbell, two games for the Browns. He's made a significant impact. Had that pick six on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins to start that second half off the tip ball. Gerard, as a former DB, what do you see out of Tyson, and how well does he fit that Jim Schwartz scheme?
I see a very physical cornerback, and I love every bit of it because he plays like he's a safety, but he has the speed and the technique to play bump and run corner. So I'm loving what I'm seeing. You can put him on a man, and what I noticed this week was, which was a better improvement from the previous week, is that he was purposely getting his head around to the football to locate it so he wouldn't get called for a PI, and also so he can make a play better on the ball. So I love what I'm seeing. He has certainly been enhancement to the defense in his skill set. So I am very, very encouraged by what we're getting from him, and I expect him to do even more.
Should be encouraged by it. It's been fantastic. Of course, this is going to be a different animal. It's the Miami Dolphins are a moribund football team. It's right. Going to be a different animal against the New England Patriots, which brings us to fourth down.
Fourth down.
Oh, it's time to meet and greet those Patriots. They're 5-2, and they are back in first in the AFC. It's kind of where we're used to seeing the Patriots in the AFC. East again, 5-2. They got that big win over the Bills to put them in first place, and boy, they kept on trucking, took real quick care of business of the Tennessee Titans. That's a team that's floundering right now with an interim head coach in Mike McCoy. Mike Vrabel, looking good so far. 59-47 in his career, seventh year as a head coach. It's his first year in New England. So far, the Patriots lead the series 14-13, including the postseason. Their last meeting, Patriots won 38-15 in Cleveland on October 16th back in 2022. League rankings for the New England Patriots, offense 15th overall, 21st in rushing only, up to 8th in passing, and there's a very big reason because of that. Defense 11th overall, but 3rd against the rush. Turnover differential is minus 2. You know, the Dolphins were a sieve against the rush. They loaded up the box in the second half trying to get the ball back. New England, though, they're a different story when it comes to rushing the ball. I think that Dillon Gabriel is going to have to be sharper in this game on Sunday against New England, Gerard.
Yeah, because if you're looking at one of the weaknesses of that defense is the fact that they don't cover the pass well. At the same time, they got multiple sacks against the Tennessee Titans, and Vrabel's return to Nashville to have, I guess, if he's not calling that, his revenge game. But at the end of the day, yes, you're going to It's a happy medium. On one hand, I keep hearing people say, well, doesn't Dillon need to take more shots and chances down the field? Yes and no, but at the same time, I say the following. Don't put it in unnecessary harm's way. Don't force it for the sake of forcing it. And if there's an opportunity there, by all means, take advantage of it. But I love the fact that he's had no interceptions and that he's keeping the ball in his hands and giving the offense other chances. So, yeah, take your shots when they present itself, and you can see an expansion of the playbook. But you know what all dictates that, Ken?
What?
He needs better protection, and obviously he needs his receivers to catch the football as well.
Drake May, it's second year in the league for the Patriots. He was the third overall pick last year in the draft, and it looked like, oh, boy, there for a second. Mm. But he turned it off in turned it up in the second half. 75.2% completions. He leads the league over 1,700 yards, 12 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions, a 116.4 passer rating. He leads the league there as well. He's an MVP candidate to start the season, but Mike Vrabel said it statistically and with the scheme, this is the best defense the Patriots have played so far this year, coming up on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns.
All right, he's absolutely right, but I will give May credit because some of the things I'm seeing him do is impressive. I mean, he can throw some weird angle of throwing the football, very Patrick Mahomes, and even to a degree, very much like Josh Allen in his own division. So I'm very impressed with what I see. And whenever you see 12 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions, take note of that. But also, too, the fact that the guy has some wiggle as well, and they're playing at a high level. But certainly, we are going to be the best defense they've seen thus far. And it'll be very intriguing, kid, to see if they will go the route of most people, and that is playing very passive in my mind, in that you just rush and get the ball out of your hands, or will they actually hold on it to the football for 5 and 7 step drops and try to go deep with the football. I can't wait to see what Vrabel thinks of doing, or what, better yet, what Josh McDaniel is going to do, because he's the offensive coordinator.
In that defense, they are fantastic against the run. Again, third in the NFL against the rush. The Browns right now, first in total defense. It is Christian Barmore that starts things off as the defensive tackle. Harold Landry III leads the team in sacks with 5.5. You know Mike Vrabel's going to send him at the outside linebacker spot, and he does. Harold Landry III, one of their leaders, in tackles and their overall leader in sacks. Bob Spillane, the former Steeler and the former Raider.
Problems with him.
He is their leader in tackles. We've had our weird roundabouts with Bob Spillane in the past, so the Browns are going to have to mind their P's and Q's across the offensive line against this Patriots football team. On the injury front, Aiden Huntington, he did not go today because of a concussion. Jerry Jeudy did not practice today because of a knee injury. Everybody else was limited either because of some bang-ups or some rest, or they were full go even though they were on the injured list. For the New England Patriots, two guys didn't go today. Elijah Ponder, he's the backup outside linebacker, and Craig Woodson, starting safety. He was out today in practice because of an ankle injury, something to monitor there in the secondary against the New England Patriots. Again, Patriots coming to this one 5-2 on top of the AFC East. Browns still trying to trug along, getting two wins in a row, haven't won in a game in the last 11 tries on the road, trying to break that streak. The Patriots are a perfect 4-0 at Gillette Stadium coming into this football game. University Hospitals Simon Cancer Center plays tough defense against cancer. Catching it early means a better chance of curing it. Go to uhhospitals.org/cancer screening. So much more coming up in the show. We'll talk to Andrew Siciliano, the voice of your Cleveland Browns. Gerard and I are going to go around the league, and Gerard's wearing a headset. I'm wearing a headset. Should owners be on the sidelines wearing headsets? We'll ask that question as we go around the league. But coming up next, Brown safety Donovan McMillan had a big game on Sunday, and he talks with us as we get ready for the New England Patriots and your Cleveland Browns at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. this Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. You're listening to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns, on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
We rally around the Browns no matter what. And if you've been injured, the best fans in the world deserve award-winning attorneys to get them the compensation they need. Elk & Elk is proud to stand with you at every game and every trial. Elk & Elk, proud partner of the Cleveland Browns.
Traditions are a game changer. Traditions have the power to turn a simple moment into a memory, bring a whole city together. And they're even what inspires us to make our masa in Tostitos the traditional way. Starting with whole corn kernels. No artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. We craft our chips for whatever your tradition is. Tostitos, tradition matters. The official chip and dip sponsor of the Cleveland Browns.
Hey Browns fans, it's Luke Whippler. Rehabbing through an ankle injury last season, I saw firsthand how vital it is to have expert support that helps you bounce back stronger. At University Hospitals Drusinski Sports Medicine Institute, athletes at every level get pro-level care, from imaging and therapy to performance training. And if you get hurt, University Hospitals Orthopedic Injury Clinics let you walk in, get checked out fast, and start your recovery plan right away. UH will help you get back to the game you love, because nobody likes sitting on the sidelines.
Think Verizon, the best 5G network, is expensive? Think again. Bring in your AT&T or T-Mobile bill to a Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Now, what to do with your unwanted bills? Maybe turn them into paper airplanes headed to see and ever AT&T and T-Mobile. Jokes aside, the best 5G network has you covered with the most ways to save on plans, streaming, and phone deals. So bring in your bill to your local Verizon store, and we'll give you a better deal. Rankings based on RootMetric True Score Report data to 1H2025. Your results may vary. Must provide a postpaid consumer mobile bill dated within the past 45 days. Bill must be in the same name as the person redeeming the deal. Additional terms apply.
Northeast Ohio knows football, and Sarshone Auto Group knows Northeast Ohio. As an official partner of the Cleveland Browns, Sarshone Auto Group serves our community with the best selection and the best service. From Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and more. From the toughest trucks to the SUVs that fit your family, Sarshone Auto Group, an official partner of the Cleveland Browns, and the place where Northeast Ohio comes to drive. Visit Sarshone.com.
Here we go, Brownies! Here we go!
Browns fans, your ticket into the game is back for another season, brought to you by the Ohio Lottery. Check the Browns' social channels daily to play the digital scratch-off game for your chance to win club seats and other great prizes, too.
Back to throw, looking end zone, throwing, intercepted at the 2!
Play today and check out your other favorite Ohio Lottery games at a retailer near you. not an official Ohio Lottery game. Please play responsibly.
Browns fans, get excited for game day at the Browns VIP tailgate. Brought to you by BullseyeEventGroup.com. The Browns VIP tailgate starts 3 hours prior to kickoff before every home game. It's right next to Huntington Bank Field inside the Great Lakes Science Center. This tailgate is all ages and features a premium buffet by Food Network chefs Aaron May and Rocco Whalen. And a premium open bar for 3 hours. Start Browns games right. Get your VIP tailgate tickets today at BullseyeEventGroup.com.
Are you ready to join a community of goal-getters? At the University of Akron, our students are connected, career-ready, and built to lead. Here, hard work meets real opportunity, mentorship abounds, and ambition is met with a yes. Through the university's partnership with the Cleveland Browns, students have exclusive access to industry drivers and unique experiences. This is your moment. Visit uakron.edu/visit to learn more. The University of Akron. Find your yes.
Being a victim of medical malpractice can affect every part of your world. Elk & Elk knows this, and it's why we're there for every client, every day. Call Elk & Elk at 1-800-ELK-OHIO.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show. The Cleveland Browns Preview Show is presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of the Cleveland Browns. This is the University Hospital's Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Becca Brea, Ken Carmen, Gerard Cherry. It's the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, as the Browns get set to head east to take on the New England Patriots. And to join us to preview it, Donovan McMillan joins us on the show. Donovan, hello.
How you doing, man?
Do you know how hard it is to not say Donovan Mitchell in the city of Cleveland when you start with Donovan and you get to the Mitt? And it's just like, no, Donovan McMillan joins us on the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you familiar with basketball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened to me first time when I made the team. It got posted on Twitter as Donovan Mitchell, and then he ended up responding on
Twitter.
That's
right. I forgot about that.
I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, hey. Down the road, we should do like a deal or something. Donovan's in Cleveland. Come on,
it's fine with me. Well, he's like 6'4", 6'5". If he were to play in the NFL, what position do you think he'd play? Very athletic, very fast, very strong too. I bet he'd be a DB.
That's tough.
No offense to you guys. I know you're a DB, but still.
Sometimes DBs don't do as well at being that tall. So maybe outside linebacker. Maybe
you know,
outside
I
linebacker.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
size or height. Can
maybe outside
be a
linebacker. Maybe put some weight on and play some tight end.
Okay.
That's a possibility.
Wait,
he got good hops. He got good hops. You might just put him in the red zone, go one-on-one with the corner.
I didn't even think about that. You're a rookie, right?
Yes, sir.
How's your initial season here in the NFL? What's this like? This has been a real whirlwind for you, I think, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And 2025 has been the craziest year of my life. I haven't stopped playing football since, like, our bowl game in December to – two back-to-back. I went Hula Bowl, Shrine Bowl, is all-star games, and then was training in Florida for months, and then had the draft. Unfortunately went undrafted, but made the best of it.
I got
the call from the Browns in the sixth round, you know, and I knew that was my destiny to go here. And from April on, I've been just working my butt off every day to, you know, do my thing and help contribute to this team.
So you are from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, originally, right?
Yes, sir.
What's your
30 minutes south?
Oh well, where at?
McMurray, Pennsylvania, like Cannonsburg area.
I've been through there.
Okay.
I had a friend who lived in Wexford. I had a friend who lived.
My dad teaches in Wexford.
No kidding.
North Allegheny.
What's he teach?
He's a history teacher, 9th to 10th grade.
Okay. What's his favorite part of history?
Everything.
What's your father's first name?
You can go sit. Darren McMillan.
Darren, shout out to you. Oops,
yes,
sorry. Go ahead.
AKA Mac. M-A-C.
Mac.
Yes, sir.
Does he coach?
Oh, yeah. He's the defensive coordinator at Peters Township, where I'm from, my high school. About, like I said, about an hour from Wexford.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm live 30 minutes south. He was my defensive coach. They're on year 10 right now. Before they got there, we only had one conference title in 1975. When my dad got there the year before my freshman year, so when I was in eighth grade, my sophomore, junior, and senior, we went back-to-back-to-back conference championships. That was what? 18.
You have the shirt that says back-to-back?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
18, 19, 20. And then since then, they've won the conference about 5-6 times with Whipple Championship.
Yeah.
We went to the Whipple title 4 times in the past 6 years. So shout out Peters Township.
So – My goodness. So do you know of a name, Tom Emanski?
Tom Emanski. I feel like that's a...
Okay. So he's a baseball instructor. So he ran a baseball school, and he had a commercial for his baseball video, and it was back-to-back-to-back AAU national champions.
Okay.
And so that's what I think any guy my age definitely thought of that when you said back-to-back-to-back. That's very impressive, though.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's a history teacher. I love history.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. A lot of football guys like history, though.
So, oh, he could talk your head off for history, but and he knows every single fact about...
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, from U.S. history to... All kind of history. So.
Now, how do you say? Do you say Whipple?
Whipple? Whipple, like WPIA.
Yeah.
WPIAL.
Yeah, yeah. Whipple. Now, I imagine you played at Acrisure Stadium in high school.
So it's normally the Whipple Championship is played in Acrisure, but unfortunately, I didn't play in it for like they took it off.
You're
like
kidding?
Because 5A like is another round, so everyone played the week before Acrisure, and they wanted to let us play back to back weeks there. So the year I left, they started playing Acrisure again. So My brother got a chance to play. Well, no, not the year after. A few years later, my brother got a chance to play in Acrisure last year.
Mm-hmm.
So when they won the Whipple title 2 years ago, they didn't get to play in it, but they played in last year. Unfortunately, lost. But hey, my brother played in Heinz Field.
I know
before I played. I was playing at the same time at Pitt. So we played.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You played at Pitt for crying out loud. Because I was going to say there were a lot of complaints already this year from a lot of players about the track at Acrisure Stadium. See, I want to call it Heinz too. And because it's just like, hey, the
AKA Heinz.
Yeah. And like the field's always in like a thing. And I go, well, they let everybody play on that field.
Yeah.
So like the county's very crazy about that. So you played there in college. Now you started at Fordham, right?
No, I started at Florida.
Florida.
University of Florida.
I thought you said Fordham.
Yeah, yeah. The Gators.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Coach Mullen was my freshman year coach.
Now they've already been through another one since you. Oh, that's not very good for them. Either way, but you ended up at Pitt, Pat Narduzzi. Great coach, good dude. That's a great program over there that they got going on. I know the ACC can be a challenge
100%
for a place like Pitt. What was the best thing about Pitt? Other than you're from there.
The best thing about Pitt, I feel like when I came from Florida, I wouldn't say I was a mess. I was just all over the place from, you know, like a football aspect. I had three DB coaches. Like you said, I had two head coaches. Like things were moving. Things were moving around at all times. So when I got a chance to go to Pitt, I had Coach Sanders as my safeties coach. He went through and really kind of ripped me apart and put me back together to be like the best safety I possibly can be and put me in the best position possible to, you know, make my dreams come true and play in the NFL.
Did you ever run into Pat Bostic or Doran Dickerson while you were there?
Oh, yeah.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
They are wonderful guys. I hear Doran when he does a
sideline. Doran and I we're always joking around. I always tell him, you know, if we played together, you know, I'd be strapping him down. But he's like, hey, I was 4.4 speed, one of the fastest tight ends. It's like, we'd have some good comp. We'd have
Doran
some good
float,
comp.
Man.
Oh, yeah, he could.
Doran could float.
100%.
So you, what was this game like for you against the Dolphins on Sunday? Take us through it.
You know, every game's a blessing. Every game's an amazing experience. You know, just being able to go, you know, stand there for the national anthem, it brings me emotions every time. So just to be able to, you know, that being my seventh game and go play a team like the Dolphins, it was amazing. But going through it, the energy, it was one of a kind. You know, nothing like playing in the dog pound. You know, there's nothing that I've ever experienced there, and they're I love the fans. You know, it's just, it's hard to describe until you're in it, until on the field. You know what I'm saying? So no, the game was a great experience. I made a few plays. Nothing like making a play and hearing the crowd. That's, mm-hmm. that's what I was talking about, like with the fans. But at the end of the day, getting a W is the only thing that really matters to me. So when you get that win, you know, there's no better feeling.
You put two, I can't say the word as the kids say. You put two in heck, as they say. It's a different animal coming up on Sunday, Drake May. I mean, he is on a heater right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't give me the entire game plan. I know there's things that you can't say, but how do you go after Drake May on Sunday?
No, he's a smooth player. I played him in college when he was at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Played him my junior year. I think he's a very composed quarterback who you know, doesn't play like a second-year quarterback. I think he's very intelligent. We got to be able to stop, you know, him in the pass game, but at the same time, he likes to run the ball as well. So, you know, contain him and understand that he's one of the fastest QBs right now, and make sure he doesn't make plays with his feet.
Okay. For them and just how they've been doing offensively, I mean, they got some weapons. They've been doing well defensively. What's the first key that you have to stop with them on offense?
The first key, I would say, it comes from, I feel like every team, you can make one-dimensional if you stop the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Once you stop a run game, now they got to be forced to be put in positions where they have to take the ball down the field. And one thing that we've shown is from our D-line getting back there very fast. You know, we have the cheat code number 95 mm-hmm. To our linebackers like Carson and them making plays in the middle of the field and them blitzing as well. And our secondary's been balling. So if you can make a team one-dimensional and make them just throw the ball, then you improve your chances to win very greatly.
You like movies?
I love movies.
What's your favorite movie?
Oof. See, I love that question, but I hate that question.
I knew you can't say that. Here we are.
Because I love so many movies. I go through this all the time. I try to make top tens of Disney, top tens of Pixar.
Let me make it easy.
Top tens of live action.
Let me try you here. Donovan McMillan joining us here on the show, by the way. Browns defensive back. As if you guys didn't already know that. Okay. It's Halloween season. Favorite horror movie?
I can't pick favorites.
Oh, come on.
I can't. You know, favorite horror movie.
You're on the radio now. Bold opinion.
Like, I like the Conjuring movies. In all honesty, I'm not a big horror movie because I'm terrified. I love the new horror TV shows. You know, I just watched that Netflix Monsters documentary on Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
Yeah, that was rough.
You know, the lampshades and things like that can be a bit much. Okay, let me throw something by you. Okay, have you ever seen the original Halloween?
Like the old one?
Yeah, 78.
I don't think I watched that one.
It's an easy watch because there's no blood.
Okay.
Everybody thinks there's blood, but it's not. It's very suspenseful. Very good. Favorite comedy movie?
Favorite comedy? See, there's so many different types of comedy. Is there like the Friday series? Like those are...
You could say Friday.
But then I can't say Friday because I don't know if I'm going to say Friday. Or next Friday.
No, there's no Friday after next. No, there's no way.
Come on now.
There's no way.
You
have to go with the original.
Come on now.
Donovan, you have to go with the original.
Yeah, my dad will kill me if I don't say the original. But probably the original. But there's so many funny comedies. Because there's so many different spectrums of comedy. You can go something like The Longest Yard if you're trying to play a sports comedy.
Okay.
Or you could... There's rom-coms and...
Favorite football movie, go.
Rom-com.
Oh, rom-coms. You know what I really like? Not You Got Mail. Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle. I don't think I know that one.
I went to the restaurant he was with Rob Reiner at in that movie.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, obviously it's
what's
based.
What's it called again?
It's Sleepless in Seattle. It's
okay,
based in Seattle, obviously.
It,
it's not like it's based
it.
In Texas. But yeah, there's like little like places there. Like, oh, this is the houseboat that he lived at. And then, what's her name? Why am I drawing a blank? I can see her. Meg Ryan.
Okay.
Tom Hanks was very big on that scene in the 90s. It was a very big thing. You were born when?
02.
Yeah, see, I'm much older than you. favorite football movie?
Oof. Let's see. Another one where you're saying there's a group of them. Like, you could say one of my favorite ones is The Replacements.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Okay, I got one for you to watch. You ready? Well, you might have seen
it. You can't miss Remember the Titans. That's one of the best movies out there.
I have a... unpopular opinion about that movie. I can't share right now. It'll turn people against me and the spotlight's on you. Have you ever seen, this is one you need to see, All the Right Moves?
All the Right Moves. I don't think so.
It's based.
See, you're getting me on the radio like I don't. I'm a big movie fanatic.
It's fine.
You're just two for
but
two on getting me ones that
but
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm older than you. See, that's
true.
The
but I love old movies. Like I was just listening to the Goonies soundtrack when I was driving here today. Like I love classics, but I obviously don't know the ones that you've said so far.
Goonies is all right with me. Goonies is fine, but I want whenever you get a chance. Obviously, you're busy. It's a high school football movie, and it's based right outside of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So I think you'll notice some of the landmarks in it. Tom Cruise, Leah Thompson, Craig T. Nelson. Do you know who Craig T. Nelson is? Coach?
Yeah.
You don't know. It's okay. You'll find out. All right. Donovan, what do you want to tell to the fans? What do you want to say to the fans as we get ready? It's another road game. Gosh, it feels like you guys have been on the road forever, and you're here for one game, and then you're back on the road. What do you tell the fans for the rest of the season? What do you tell the fans about what they should know about you?
What they should know about me?
Mm-hmm.
I would tell all the fans that, you know, I bleed orange and brown now.
There you go.
I'm a Cleveland at heart. I'm a Brown, and I'm here to work my butt off and, you know, do whatever it takes to win and make Cleveland get on top again.
You are an absolute treasure. Donovan, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, Donovan McMillan, he knows Ed Gein. Well, he doesn't know him personally, but he knows about the documentary show. Big fan of just cinema, big fan of football, all-around good guy. Donovan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Good luck to you the rest of the way as well.
Yes, sir.
Donovan McMillan joining us in the Players Spotlight. When we come back, Gerard and I will take you around the league where we will talk about owners wearing headsets. It's the Cleveland Browns Preview Show, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip partner of your Cleveland Browns, on the University Hospitals Cleveland Browns Radio Network.